All right. Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, September 9th. It is 2:30 in the afternoon, and it's 2009. Didn't I say that already? So, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman? Leonard?
Aye. Or, excuse me, here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Adams?
Here. We are considering one item this afternoon. It is a resolution, time certain. Item number 1292, and Carla, could you please read the title?
Accept the Portland Streetcar System Concept Plan.
I'm going to make some introductory comments, and then we've got some special guests who are on a tight timeline, and go from there, right? Or are we making a staff presentation in between that? Yes, I'm making a staff presentation. Or yes, one is being made. All right. Thank you, Shoshana. Takes a whole village. All right.
To raise a child.
And to keep the mayor going.
Just to complete the sentence.
Still working on it. 3 years ago, I made a I gave an address to the Portland City Club titled "From Here to Portland's Transportation Tomorrow," and outlined a number of important challenges and opportunities that the City of Portland and the region needed to tackle. Everything from additional resources to deal with the basic $500 million and growing maintenance and safety backlog, which we then turned into the Safe, Sound, and Green Street Initiative, that then we used to lobby the state legislature to get additional funding. It was also the basis in which this city council, previous city council, voted to invest around $18 million in priority safety improvements that were spent mostly in East Portland, the most dangerous intersections in the and in the most dangerous corridors. We also talked about the need to move forward with a new strategic plan for the city, and the Portland plan we're about to re-embark on. And it talked about the fact that we have used up the region's, depending on how you count it, 25-year-old or 30-year-old rail strategy, and the need to come up with both a new regional rail strategy, rail transit strategy, I should say, and come up with a new citywide rail transit strategy, given that after years of being on the books as a wish but never actually implemented streetcar was back into the mix of transit options. Since that time, we've also embarked on a, as promised in that speech, a streetcar planning process to begin to winnow down the nearly 4,000 miles of streets and roads and corridors into a shorter list for further evaluation. Today, we are considering that. It is the beginning of the beginning. It is not an end point, it is a milestone, and it's an important one. It is responsive to the transportation systems plan. It is responsive to our peak oil strategy. It is going to be a major input as it is further refined and considered as part of the Portland plan. And it was the result of a very grassroots approach to planning. We basically citywide asked, are there folks in individual neighborhoods that were interested in working on getting streetcar in a corridor in their neighborhood? And again, our vision is to connect green, complete, sustainable neighborhoods with green streets and with transit, bus, light rail, and streetcar. The regional rail strategy on a parallel track, and we're going to hear from Metro Councilor Carletta Collette. I got it right. Carlotta Collette. All right. Damn, that's a hard name.
Someone asked me the other day. Yeah.
that I'm still recovering from that.
Wow. Yeah.
Now I know who she is. I just have a hard time with your name. Has really been working with TriMet to complete that region-wide light rail strategy. So this has been done in parallel with their efforts. And I'm very pleased today to present the report, have the discussion, and we have a lot more work to do. I've honored the process. I do have my own spin on, or sort of my own take on moving forward that I wanted to make sure was part of the legislative record and would return as part of the alternatives analysis, which would be months from now. In terms of the what you see in the report is a suggestion to continue to grow the system from the hub of downtown out from there. I think this next step of evaluation, we should really look at the opportunities in Foster, the opportunities in Lentz, the opportunities in Killingsworth, the opportunities in St. John's, and I offer those only as illustrative examples, is to look at the outer. Southwest is challenging for streetcar, but we're going to be looking at it with Metro and TriMet for light rail. But to look at the neighborhoods towards the outer boundaries of the city first for the feasibility of having the next legs of streetcar out there and building it back into the central city or building it between the neighborhoods. So that's going to be part of the legislative record in terms of, and if my commissioners disagree with that, then I'd welcome their comments today. But that's what I'd like us to do in sort of the next step of evaluation. And that's different than what's in the plan, so I wanted to flag that. Patrick Paul, are you going to come forward with a presentation? And counselor, because I know you're in the middle of a meeting over at Metro, do you want to come forward as well and I'll have you.
I can wait for that presentation.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for this opportunity and for the support of. It's an honor to be here to present this over 2 year long planning effort to you today. So, in light of the people in the audience who I know who have something to say. I'll keep my my presentation brief. With me is my name is Patrick Sweeney, project manager for the streetcar system concept plan project, senior transit planner for PMOT. With me is Paul Smith, chief transportation planner for the city of Portland, manager of transportation planning. And behind me is Tom Armstrong, coordinator for the Portland plan, just in case a Portland plan coordination question comes up. So today I want to just give you a quick overview of the project. The project all started, the idea of modern streetcar in the city of Portland started in 1988 in the Central City Plan. One of the transportation elements of that plan called for a Central City Circulator. The mode was uncertain at that time, but follow-up studies in that on that Central City Circulator idea in 1990 and 1993, and then in 1995, finally arrived at modern streetcar as the preferred tool to be the Central City Circulator. And just a couple weeks ago, construction was started on the East Side Loop. So 31 years later, we are finally seeing the realization of the Central City Circulator for Central Portland. Current city policy on streetcar is to develop streetcar lines in Portland to connect new or redeveloping neighborhoods to employment opportunities, other destinations, including shopping, education, recreation. This is from policy 624 out of the city's transportation system plan, the transportation element of the comp plan. The Portland streetcar concept plan was prepared to provide a framework to implement this city policy. And looking at an overview of the entire project over 2 years, we actually started in the spring of 2007 with some background work in evaluating transit corridors all across the city. This effort started in earnest in the fall of 2007. We had some initial technical work. We had a kickoff workshop in November 2007. But what's interesting is in spring of 2008, we put a freeze on the technical work and initiated an intensive public involvement effort that is highlighted by the district working group process. We had a great, fantastic citizen advisory committee called the System Advisory Committee, or the SAC. They helped us throughout the project were our filter to, you know, and in getting information to the public and to the neighborhoods. But we wanted to go one step further and actually get more people involved in the project and helping to evaluate corridors in their parts of the city. So that's what that district working group process was. That lasted a little longer than we thought. It went to the winter, last winter. It wrapped up in November of 2008. The technical work restarted in the winter, and then we were able to, at that time, take what information we had learned from the public, from the technical side, reconcile it into some system concepts and some implementation strategies. We had some more workshops in May in conjunction with the Bike Master Plan update, and then led to a Planning Commission hearing last month, and then here we are today. I'll quickly go through this, a very techie diagram here, but this is essentially what we did. So we started with 210 miles of transit corridors citywide. We had to arrive what makes the most sense for considering streetcar in the future. So screen one was a fatal flaw analysis. We cut out the corridors that just didn't work for streetcar. Screen two is when we really started to kind of dial in and look at transit-supportive land uses and ridership. And in screen two is where we froze the technical work, and that's where we plugged in a major component of the public involvement to get their input. And then screen three was when we, as I mentioned before, we reconciled the public involvement, what we learned from that effort with the technical work, into some system concepts. And at the bottom of the funnel, we have our system concept plan.
I just want to underscore for those viewing and in the room that when we say corridor, you see Belmont or Killingsworth. It's the corridor. It does not make, we do not make the assumption that the streetcar would necessarily go actually on Belmont or Killingsworth or any other street. It's the corridor that we're looking at.
That's correct. And Belmont's a good example because Belmont and Hawthorne are both considered to be a potentially viable streetcar corridors, but in an alternatives analysis process, which would be the next step, we'd be evaluating both of those corridors in a corridor study. The reason why Belmont is shown on the map is that for technical reasons and for public involvement input, at this point, Belmont scores a little bit higher, but that's not to say that Hawthorne should not be evaluated. So it's a corridor that is more than the width of just one street. The project goals throughout the project, there were two sets of goals. We were evaluating corridors. It was pretty straightforward. It had to be a viable transit option with good ridership. It had to have redevelopment potential, and that's the streetcar neighborhood part of the streetcar corridor. And then we had to demonstrate community support, and that's where the district working group process was designed to feed in to help evaluate corridors. Then when it was time to look at how the corridors fit together in some system concepts, the three goals for that were a system should help achieve peak oil and sustainability strategies. It should be help to organize and catalyze growth along streetcar corridors. And then future or potential streetcars should be integral into the corridors, into neighborhoods throughout the city where it would be expanded to. Quick public involvement snapshot, the System Advisory Committee that I mentioned before, led by Chair Owen Ron Kelly, who's in the audience today. 14 members met 17 times, were instrumental in the development of the Portland Streetcar Workbook, which was the foundation of the district working group process. So staff, with the help of the consultant team, developed this workbook to help the citizen groups meet by themselves and to evaluate corridors on their own terms. We developed this kind of like a lesson plan for things for them to consider. But largely, we wanted citizens to meet on their own terms, and we were acting as a technical resource. So and then they would provide feedback back to us. So the district working groups, when we initiated the concept, the response was much broader than we had expected. We were able to have five district working groups throughout the city, over 100 volunteers were helping us to evaluate corridors in each of their districts. They each developed surveys using the SurveyMonkey tool to reach out to even more people, and we had over 2,000 people respond to us with surveys. And then these small groups met by themselves for over a period of 8 months. So it was a tremendous response from the public and interest in looking at potential streetcar corridors throughout the city. And throughout this two-year process, we had 15 major public meetings, and that's three sets of major public workshops, and then we had a special central city workshop last summer. So the concept, the streetcar system concept plan that we were talking about today, some quick highlights of what this is about. Corridors in this document represent the best opportunities for future streetcar investment. Corridors were assessed to determine which have the best potential for streetcar investment. And that, again, that looked at the ridership, the development potential, and community support. And the document will be used in the future and by future planners and city council to help select corridors for future alternatives analysis when funding becomes available. Detailed corridor analysis and discussion with affected neighborhoods are absolutely critical and necessary to determine if a streetcar investment makes sense in those corridors. No funding plan or schedule has been developed for any potential streetcar project as of now. And no individual corridor can move forward without a detailed analysis of project purpose and need and a full understanding of what the project impacts of a future streetcar would be.
So part of what a detailed corridor analysis, alternatives analysis includes, what if the corridor we identified had bus on it? What if it, nothing was done on that corridor? Bus rapid transit, other sort of options, other sort of transit movement options than just streetcar. That's the kind of due diligence of the next step, correct?
Correct. Correct. We'd be looking at different types of modes. We'd be looking at cost effectiveness. We'd be looking at impacts to corridor land uses and so on. So it'd be a comprehensive analysis of the transit and land use in the corridor. So the recommendations to City Council today, accept the Portland Streetcar System Concept Plan, pursue development of a streetcar system based on promising corridors throughout the city, as identified in this system concept plan. Use the streetcar system concept plan as a reference document to help identify corridors in the future. We will are looking for direction to prepare a technical update to the city's TSP Chapter 4, which is refinement plans and studies. That's where identified projects that need further evaluation through a study or analysis. That's where they live in the TSP, Chapter 4, it's refinement plans and studies. So we would be looking to update that with some of the concept corridors that are identified in the document and what is recommended by City Council. Another recommendation is that the streetcar system concept plan will be used to inform the upcoming Portland plan process. Specifically to evaluate and discuss corridors with neighborhoods, and that's not it's if you think about the streetcar system concept plan, looked at all the right-of-ways throughout the city. Part of what the Portland plan will do is to look at this idea of the 20-minute neighborhoods and future streetcar neighborhoods. Where do they make the most sense in thinking about a broader, long-range strategic growth for the city? And then the Portland plan effort can reconcile the two.
So I just want to underscore the iterative nature of this, what the process called for in this slide, and that is be informed by the concept plan, but also have the concept plan informed by the Portland plan.
Right, right. And then it's also a good time to mention that the streetcar system concept plan will be a dynamic document. This is a type of plan that will be updated over time as priorities change and as planning efforts would weigh in and affect the priorities of the city. And then one of the most comprehensive recommendations to City Council is, and this has been born out of a lot of great work with the Planning Commission and Planning Commissioner Andre Ba, who's also in the audience, is the idea to develop principles to guide the evaluation analysis of future streetcar corridors. And that is where when funding becomes available, and if we were to go into an alternatives analysis process, we want to make sure that local issues that are important to neighborhoods and affected neighborhoods don't fall through the cracks. So what we want to do is form an interbureau task force to draft these corridor principles around these items: housing affordability, small business impacts, neighborhood development, impacts on existing transit services, local match requirements, transparency in project process so people can understand how this is all working, and then a communication strategy so that there's a discussion with the neighborhoods on the opportunities and analysis of costs of what streetcar corridors are. This task force would be appointed by the mayor and potentially include representatives from the Planning Commission, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, PBOT, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Bureau of Housing and Community Development, Office of Management and Finance, Portland Streetcar Inc., TriMet, and potentially one representative from each of the city's neighborhood coalitions. So it's a comprehensive task force. It's meant to be a tight group, meant to help develop these principles to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks.
And Metro, if they want to be.
Absolutely. And that is that's my last slide.
And Commissioner Fritz, you had a suggested amendment?
Well, actually, I compliment you very much on your staff report, and I noticed in the updated version of this, you've already incorporated the Planning Commission's recommendation to have a subtitle of the framework for future corridor planning and alternatives analysis.
Correct.
You've got a whereas in the ordinance resolution, but there isn't an albeit therefore resolved to match that whereas. So I'm proposing that with the mayor's agreement that we have a now be it resolved that we're going to do that last whereas on page 4.
Thank you.
Second. Any discussion on council? Anyone in the yeah?
I'm moving that we include the bottom where we change the language in the whereas in response to discussion by the Planning Commission members paragraph then becomes a now be it resolved that we add that language.
That would include the italicized language as well as part of a be it resolved?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As well as the subtitle addition.
Yeah, and I think that was the intent. I just want to make sure
Correct.
That we have
Thank
that
you.
In there because it's really Good a very catch. Helpful clarification for citizens as to what the concept and framework is and is not.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's been moved and seconded. Council discussion. Anyone wish to testify on this motion? Carl, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Aye. All right. Any other initial discussion from council? And you're obviously going to stick around. All right. Thank you. We have the only Metro councilor in the room, Michael Powell. Andre Baugh, Carlotta Collette.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
As am I, if I can move this chair
forward. Mr. Powell. Mr. Baugh, welcome. Hi. Counselor, would you like to go first?
Thank you. And it is a pleasure to be here. As Mayor Adams said, we just completed our high-capacity transit system for the region. So I have a good feeling of what your staff has been through and what you've been through as you've watched this process. It's a daunting process, and you've done a great job, and your staff has done a great job. Our staff worked closely with you, as yours did with us, as we were developing our plans. So they are very well integrated, and I think that's been critical. When we would go around the region with our map, in the middle of our map was this box, and people would say, "What's the box?" And we'd say, "That's the Portland streetcar plan." So now we're happy to have something that we can plug into that space. I think it's absolutely critical that we have an integrated system that has your streetcars, our light rails, all of these working together to provide transportation options for our communities. And you have demonstrated with the Portland streetcar, I mean, it's the model that whenever we bring visitors from anywhere in the world, we bring them to the streetcar. It's the first thing because it's not only a transportation vehicle, but it is a community building vehicle and an economic development vehicle. And you've demonstrated that probably better than anybody maybe in the world. The Pearl District is such a shining example. It's really exciting. I'm really proud of it, and I don't even live in Portland. So it's something you should all be very proud of. As we looked through the plan, there are a few areas where we think we need to continue to work together and be pretty creative about. And one of those is that you've really identified this as a vehicle for economic development and community building. You've made that case really strongly. I'm looking forward to the Lake Oswego project as a model of how we can also use it as a transportation vehicle, because right now it's kind of a circulator and it performs that role really well. But in order to really justify it from a regional perspective, we've got to do things that will make it also work for commuters. So where your lines end, maybe we extend them beyond the city lines to meet some of our regional needs. And we looked at that in the high-capacity transit study in our corridors. We didn't say these are going to be light rail corridors or these are going to be bus rapid transit or streetcar. We included all of those and said when we get to the next stages, we'll identify which is the best vehicle. So I think in a number of cases, streetcars are going to be running in the high-capacity corridors that we've identified. And I think working to make sure that it serves the region from a transportation perspective is going to be an important one. And I look forward to that. I think that's going to be a very creative process. Another challenge that I think we're going to face is that while we've used a lot of federal money to help build our light rail projects and some of the other projects in the region, the big challenge coming up is going to be operating costs. And I think we need to be creative about looking at how we're going to raise that money. And one of the ways that we've been sort of toying with is, are there kind of value-added or transit increment financing revenues that we could turn back into the system so that as we build this incredible economic base like the Pearl District, are there some ways that we can share those benefits back to the system so that maybe, we look at local improvement districts to fund the construction, maybe we look at something like a local improvement district to help pay for the operation. And again, we just need to be creative because we've pretty much maxed out TriMet's ability to operate the system. We have a little bit of room to grow, but not a huge amount. And I'm concerned that we make sure that we can operate the systems that we can build. And then third, I think, and again, we have a model of this. We need to look at opportunities to leverage the money that the city invests in streetcars wherever we can and when the federal government enables us to again. Leverage that money to help use as a local match on federalized projects like light rail. And the example we have is that on the interstate line, we had built the red line to the airport, and that was a locally funded project. It wasn't federalized. You had built your first streetcar length, and that had not been federalized. We were able to use those investments in the system to help offset our local match on the MAX yellow line up interstate. So we ended up, even though the federal formula is something like 60-40, the federal government paid about 76% of the cost of that interstate line because we could credit back the investments we'd already had. So wherever we can, I think it would be really smart for us to be thinking about if the city or through LIDs or whatever, if we finance projects locally, that we figure out that they're part of a system and that we can then leverage that money to help build the next legs that we need to federalize, that we need to go to the federal government for funding. So those are my comments. I think overall it's a great plan. I really commend you on your public involvement, and I hope the communities feel the same. There's always that question. But I think it's a great plan. It integrates beautifully with the high-capacity transit system plan that we've developed, and we look forward to continuing to work with you to make all of these different projects come when they're ready. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your ongoing partnership through Chair of JPEC, which I look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Yes, 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Maybe not that meeting.
Mr. Powell.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Michael Powell, 7 Northwest 9th, and I'm here today in my capacity as chair at Portland Streetcar, Inc., a board that I've been associated with since its inception. PSI supports your acceptance of the streetcar system concept plan. We opened service in 2001 and have regularly expanded service since that time with 4 extensions and now with the East Side Edition under construction. Our total mileage will be 7 1/3 miles after completion of the loop. Future calls for closing the loop and now cooperation with Milwaukee Light Rail and the building of the Carruthers Bridge and an extension out to Lake Oswego. The system concept plan provides an excellent vision for the future of transit in the city of Portland and this region.
The plan has involved the citizens more extensively than I've ever experienced in any such type planning process, and I congratulate Patrick for that effort, and represents a thorough understanding of the values associated with the streetcar. I want to emphasize the value of using quality transit to encourage mixed use, concentrated development in Portland. We have a commitment toward livability here and encouraging alternative modes, developing mixed-use environments where walking is more prominently used. The streetcar serves as an important catalyst for this type of development in our communities. The plan has identified key corridors that are currently zoned to encourage this development, and the plan goes on to recommend corridors that are comp plan corridors where modifications to the plans could accommodate streetcar investment. The streetcar loop will provide, that is the one under construction, will provide an invaluable investment for supporting the streetcar plan. Several of the proposed lines can utilize track that would then be in place, saving considerably on capital, and in most cases, converting existing bus lines to streetcar service. The Broadway Widener line, for example, adds 2 miles of track, but creates a crosstown line of 4 miles by using existing track in the loop. And the MLK line from Killingsworth to OHSU South Waterfront adds 2 miles of new track, but utilizes 2 miles of existing track. PSI is very proud of the streetcar service that's been offered in Portland since 2001. We enjoy an outstanding partnership with the City of Portland and TriMet, ensuring safe, and I do emphasize safe, we've never had a significant accident, and probably represent something like 24 million riderships. Effective and coordinated transit service in the community. We look forward to continuing that effort with the implementation of the streetcar system concept plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and thanks for all your work on the PSI board.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Commissioner Baugh.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Andre Baugh, Portland Planning Commissioner, and in my role here, I'm just going to be thanking for the opportunity to offer my support and really the Planning Commission's support for the streetcar. There is no doubt the streetcar is an extraordinary tool for Portland's next generation of growth, a visionary statement on how Portland will significantly add to its sustainability, jobs, and to the evolution and implementation of the 20-minute neighborhood. To achieve this change, I encourage you to adopt the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendations of integration of streetcar planning into other city planning activities and establishing principles that are up on the screen today into facilitating preservation and growth of each neighborhood streetcar corridor of local businesses and residents. The recommendations will, in my view, complement and strengthen the federal assessment process that will be going forward, and also develop support for whatever the funding strategies are going forward. I think those principles will be the neighborhood principles that will support all of that activity going forward. And the key here is planning. It's what Portland is known for. It's how we make our decisions on sound philosophy and policy from any form of implementation, and the streetcar represents an opportunity to uphold our tradition. The ability to talk to our neighborhoods is how we answer questions about they may have about streetcar. And strategies not currently envisioned in the Portland plan must be incorporated through the through our recommendations detailed to address. Really, the streetcars are going to be transformational for neighborhood corridors. It really is going to transform from a standpoint of growth, housing, businesses, and how we can do that over the next 20 years. It's not going to be tomorrow, but how do we lay a plan out for the next 20 years and principles to do that? The streetcar is an unequivocal back-to-the-future tool for ensuring equity and preservation for the low- and moderate-income neighborhoods and the local businesses while creating the opportunities for new residences and businesses. So really taking that and how do we keep what we have, but how do we build for the future? And as the Portland Planning Commission, we support the mayor's vision for the streetcars in the neighborhoods corridors across this great city. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate your service on the Planning Commission. There is no greater sacrifice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Owen Roncelli, Kurt Schneider, and Erek Bielgos. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Glad you're here. Owen, do you want to go first?
Sure. Owen Ron Kelly, and I chair the Stakeholder Advisory Committee on this process. I would like to say that I was actually proud to serve on this process with all the dedicated volunteers on my committee, as well as the district working groups that worked tirelessly on their own time to evaluate their own corridors. To me, it demonstrated a unique sort of public outreach process that reached beyond the typical neighborhood involvement. By doing the local workshops, we were able to involve people who didn't typically participate in that process before. And so we got, I think, a broader idea of people who wouldn't ordinarily participate. And, of course, I also want to thank the talented staff that shepherded us through this process. One of the things that I was important to our committee is to downplay the distinction between the concept and comprehensive plan corridors. And that's outlined on page 44 of the plan itself. The different colored central city corridors versus the peripheral corridors that were a different color. And it could be interpreted as the haves, which is the central city, and the have-nots, the rest of Portland. It's important to elevate the comp plan corridors as an integral part of the system plan and not as secondary priorities. It could limit public support for the plan and diminish the larger aspirations of the city for expanding streetcar as a whole. It's important to tie the concept plan with the Portland plan process. It provides an excellent opportunity for neighborhoods to implement streetcar supportive zoning and policies that they want to see have happen in their neighborhoods so that they can facilitate or hasten the viability of streetcar in their representative corridors. To achieve the city's vision for sustainability, we must balance between environmental, economic, and equity concerns. A streetcar limited to concept corridors does not demonstrate equitable distribution of infrastructure or capital investment. As more corridors are developed, it'll be important to preserve housing options for all income levels along corridors and help existing small businesses benefit from the added foot traffic that streetcar can bring. We want to see this be a living document. We don't want this to be a shelf piece that collects dust. It should be updated periodically. And the value of this plan is really the ability for it to remain up to date. And it should be reflected of current neighborhood and district vision and their desire for streetcar. And finally, the future of streetcar, particularly outside of urban renewal districts, will be more difficult to build. And therefore, the SAC recommends the development of a comprehensive corridor funding strategy. Not something that's corridor specific, but a sustainable fund that will be used to build streetcar today and into the future. It will help to preserve the long-term viability of streetcar development in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for chairing the group. This has been a very, a very significant time commitment, and we really appreciate it. Kurt.
Afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I am Kurt Schneider. I live in St. John's. I served on the district working committee. And I, too, want to thank everyone because it's been a very rewarding, good, fulfilling process. And thank you for my certificate. Thank you, Mr.
You're
Mayor.
You're welcome.
He
doesn't have to pay sales tax.
I agree mostly with what Mr. Kelly says, but I think the fact still remains that the concept and the comp plan definitely appear to be haves now and maybe later. Sorry, that's my maybe cynical view, but when you look at the plan and those routes, they take you straight from city center out a mile or two with the exception of Gateway. The Lentz, the St. John's, a number of areas that have town center or regional centers are not included. And in the letter that I've submitted to you, I think in terms of alternatives for not only your policy planning, which to me there does not seem to be an alternative. It is do this first and then that later. Yeah, that's an alternative. But I mean, if you're trying to encourage development in St. John's or Lentz, and this is one of your development tools, then yes, the equity part of that should be included. Second fact is the council have adopted the St. John's Lombard Plan in May of 2004. And you have policies there that underline a streetcar for St. John's. One, it's an old streetcar area. And plan policy supports streetcar. That word is in the plan. And you have adopted mixed-use policies, increased housing for the downtown St. John's area. So I guess I'm asking you to specifically upgrade St. John's to the top of, well, maybe not the top of the list, but the within the first tier. And with that, I thank you very much for hearing me out.
Well, I don't know if you were here at the beginning for my comments, but
yes, I was.
I basically agree with you. In terms of the next step of looking at the alternatives analysis and prioritizing corridors for that alternatives analysis, I too would like to prioritize and take the sort of reverse engineering that looking at the neighborhoods furthest from the central city and looking at the alternatives analysis there and looking at the funding opportunities and constraints and working our way back into the central city, as opposed to what's in the plan right now is start at the hub and expand up. We'll learn a lot from that and see how it goes. But I like the vision as well that you reiterated here.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You betcha. Eric.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Eric Vilgos. I'm a longtime King Neighborhood resident and a member of the King Neighborhood Association. I've been involved in this volunteer process since fall of 2007. Since then, I've worked in the Northeast Working Group on the workshops, helping to design the survey, getting the survey out to different neighborhood associations, and compiling the final report that was presented to SAC earlier this year. This concept plan represents hours, weeks, and months of volunteer as well as city staff time. It's the final result of what our city does best. Professional, in-depth technical research as well as grassroots input created this document. Approving this and moving the process forward will ensure that Portland maintains its place in the vanguard of most livable among American cities. I believe that the northbound MLK extension out of the East Side Loop is the next logical step. It is one of the least expensive of proposed extensions and has a chance to be the most transformative. This belief is also reflected by the King Neighborhood Association. In their letter of support, they wrote, "We feel that the MLK Boulevard streetcar line will form a backbone supporting all of the disparate development efforts enacted along MLK corridor under the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area and bring a pedestrian-friendly, business-friendly streetscape that has long been missing from MLK. Today, MLK is too much of a loud, high-speed corridor where businesses and pedestrians alike struggle to thrive. A streetcar would go a long way toward transforming this unfortunate pattern." A similar sentiment was expressed by Mr. Adams during the grand opening of the Vanport in January of 2008. He said, "I hope you can envision me in a time in not too long distant vision, the future, when the streetcar line will extend from downtown to the central east side, Lloyd District, all the way up MLK. This will help reduce the congestion on the boulevard and will also make it a more walkable street, which is what retailers along here need to grow and thrive. I urge you to approve this plan." Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate your testimony. Mark White, Arlene Kimura, and Jerry Koike.
That's what it's like having teenagers that constantly tell you what they've done.
What's that?
Teenagers constantly tell you what they've said before they wish they could.
Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Mr. White, I think you're first.
Sure. My name is Mark White. I'm the president of the Palo Hurst Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I was also an East Portland District Working Group member. I'd like to thank you ahead of time for your comments in the beginning. My ego is such that it probably makes me think that it was for me, and I appreciate
just
that.
Just for you. Just for you.
But I'm still going to read my testimony.
I'm sure somewhere I said I want to be in the neighborhood when the street, your neighborhood when the streetcar rides by too.
So I'd like to start by asking you to reject the current streetcar plan because as it now reads, it clearly reflects the city's continuing attachment to an outdated trickle-down, all-roads-lead-to-Rome development model that perpetuates a grossly inequitable approach to development. Palo Hurst Gilbert is the most populated neighborhood in the city of Portland. The six schools within our boundary had an ending enrollment last year of 3,675 students, which does not include the hundreds upon hundreds of high school students that go to school just across the neighborhood boundary. We've also had a slow but steady increase in residents over the age of 62 and close to 1,000 Section 8 households, as indicated in the document that I've attached with my written testimony, that also shows a clear migration of poverty to East Portland. I bring this up because, as you know, we are seriously bereft of sidewalks and crosswalks and have numerous portions of unpaved streets. Yet the Palo Hurst Gilbert Loop, which would address many of our infrastructure needs, and was presented at numerous public forums, isn't even mentioned in the streetcar plan. For us, streetcar isn't just about transportation. It's about jobs, it's about sidewalks, crosswalks, and safety. It's about the convenience of a 20-minute neighborhood because, as of today, Palo Hurst Gilbert, with close to 26,000 residents, still does not have a full-service bank within its boundary. And on the most fundamental of levels, it's about equity and being honored and valued. Which is why I find it impossible to understand that why Palo Hurst Gilbert and many other neighborhoods east of the Willamette in desperate need of attention are effectively shut out of this plan. It's my belief that the decision you make on this issue will be a defining moment in our history. It will either be the moment we officially created two Portlands, one that has everything and one that has nothing, as well as mark the beginning of a downward spiral where equity, equality, and safety is reserved only for the privileged. Or it's the day we embarked on a path of potential of being the envy of the entire world, a model that embraces equity and equality, that stares poverty directly in the eyes instead of looking away, where children, families, and seniors are all honored, where sustainability isn't just a symphony of sound bites, but a citywide reality. You have the power to make this happen. We have many intelligent and dedicated city employees, and I certainly consider Patrick to be among them. I ask you to challenge them and have them take a page from every good parent's handbook, which is to do what's best for the city and not what's easiest. A streetcar system that fully embraces the entire east side of the Willamette is what's best. It certainly won't be easy, but it is most definitely possible. I'm happy to share how to make this happen, and specifically how to pay for the Palo Hurst Gilbert Loop, as well as a full east side network. And since I wasn't being timed, I'd like to also point out on the recommendation of Patrick that while there's numerous problems within our neighborhood, there are so many opportunities, it's almost impossible to describe them all. I mean, I would probably guess that very few people in this city know that the only public botanical garden is just across the boundary in Pleasant Valley, that Pal Butte has 600 acres of hiking and you know, places for people to ride bicycles as well as ride horses. We have the Springwater Corridor wetlands. It's absolutely beautiful. There's tremendous amount of opportunity there, not to mention the fact that as a major stakeholder in the David Douglas School District, there are 67 different languages spoken there. And our neighborhood, just the cultural aspects alone are just tremendous that just really needs to be cultivated. So I really, really, you know, I appreciate your comments in the beginning, and I really do hope that that is indeed the case. So.
It was interesting. I was three and a half years ago, when I was making the rounds of neighborhood associations to talk about wanting to do a citywide streetcar plan. And at your neighborhood, a woman stood up and just berated me for the idea of streetcar on specific streets and how far and that the neighborhood wasn't interested. And I was democracy in action. Other folks got up in the group and said, no, we're interested. And that I started the conversation with your neighborhood. And it's great to have you here championing the idea of streetcar in your neighborhood. And I also like the way you put it in terms of what's best for the city, not necessarily what's easiest. Commissioner Fritz.
Could you tell me where is the Powellhurst-Gilbert loop envisioned, which street?
What I'm considering right now is starting at Foster Road down 122nd to Division. That's the entire length of our neighborhood from one end to the other, north to south. And then on Holgate, starting at around 136th near the Powell Butte Trailhead down to 82nd, and then crossing, 92nd, and then crossing 92nd over to the Lentz Town Center, and then back up at 122nd at Foster, all the way down to Foster and 50th, and then beyond. And just about 90% of what I just mentioned is wholly within the Lentz Town Center urban renewal area.
So some of it is in the concept plan, just not the part that's east of 122nd.
Correct, but my understanding is that the initial 20-year first part of it doesn't, the only part in East Portland is the gateway.
So right, that's that. And that's what I'm suggesting we, in the next phase, we do differently than what's on the plan. So it's in the plan, it just was prioritized in the plan at a future, a farther future date, and we're going to consider it in the next phase of alternative analysis.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Arlene.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mayor Adams. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I live in the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association. I am asking that you support the plan as its concept, and I want to thank all of the members of the working group who did all of the hard work and also spent some time discussing the fact of those people in St. John's and those on the farther east side as being farther down the trail than we would like. And the group itself was very supportive of the fact that there's also the kind of concept that you have to talk about what you want, what's doable, and where can we meet in between. And I think that this plan is the right step forward, and so I'm asking that you support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. Jerry?
Mayor Adams, City Council members, my name is Jerry Kwaike, and I reside in the Gateway Urban Renewal Area. I had a presentation ready, but after Mayor Adams mentioned his proposal, it kind of tweaked mine. Basically, I would like to ask the City Council to support the recommendation of the Planning Commission hearing, which was held last month. As an active participant in the Gateway area for the past 7 years, along with Arlene, Kimura, and others, I would like to encourage the city leaders to, at times, think outside the box, which was one of the Mayor Adams' presentation of looking outside the inner core. That said, when most of these proposals are presented, a lot of it is within the arm's length of the CBD and or the core of Portland, and then it radiates out. There is life outside the reaches of the city, and one example would be, and it's a far-fetched example, but the first transcontinental railroad. Basically, the idea was to link the eastern half of the U.S. with the western portion, and it's kind of like along with the streetcar. Think of the eastern section of Portland and develop that area and then go inwards, as Mayor Adams had suggested. There's so much unlimited development potential in the outer southeast. But consider whether in future projects, more emphasis in the outer southeast, and allow Portland to become one united city rather than factions in the east, west, north, south, and central Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for all of your work, each of you, on this project. How many do we have signed up?
Seven.
Okay.
First three, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Nick Christensen, and Joanna Glenn. And they'll be followed by Kenny Hagan, John Charles, and Chris Smith.
Good afternoon. Who's our third one?
We have Nick Christensen and Joanna Glenn.
Who's another one?
Okay, let's have Kenny Hagan.
Mr. Hagan.
Thank you.
Mr. Parker, welcome back.
Thank you. Whomever said Oregon is for dreamers had it correct. The view here continues to be tax and spend, as if taxpayer money grows on trees. Sustainability starts with financial self-sustainability, including not subsidizing a project from other resources or a source of revenue outside of what the project itself generates. My neighborhood has requested documentation many times over that clearly demonstrates development can be attributed to the streetcar itself as opposed to new development being attributed to taxpayer-funded TOD subsidies that follow the streetcar, land in the pockets of affluent developers, and lead to gentrification. Most subsidies in this category do not specifically require a streetcar as the mode of transit and are being used in neighborhoods without streetcars for projects that otherwise do not pencil out. Without explicit documentation, the theory of advocating the streetcar as a development tool lacks credibility and therefore is totally ambiguous. The continual alluding to "we're working on it," sidestepping a timely statistical answer from PDOT, supports that conclusion. Producing the steel rails and digging up the streets to put them in is less than eco-friendly. Cost breakdown data has also been sought by my neighborhood, specifically separating out the per-mile costs for the installation of the overhead wire, thus any track work in the streets. Again, no specific information has been forthcoming. It appears as if the public process has been hijacked by the special interests that are advocating for streetcars. In the 1970s, when dollars from the defunct Mount Hood Freeway were in the process of being redistributed to other transportation projects on Portland's east side, an in-depth study took place that compared upgrade options to the Banfield Freeway, constructing a light rail line or a busway, special treatment to city streets, and various combination of those options. Specific transit planning must start with purpose and need. Along with the interference streetcars pose to other traffic on city streets disregarded by streetcar advocates, one of the key and primary issues with this streetcar system plan is the lack of affordability for taxpayers. None of the upfront costs are recoverable through the fare box. Instead of mode choice coming first and then justifying the decision with hype, assumptions, and one-sided cherry-picked data, an in-depth, comprehensive comparison study of other transit options must take place, on all routes must take place. Specific language needs to be added to the concept plan that requires this kind of action. Additionally, to maintain an objective purpose, the word streetcar needs to be removed from the title, possibly replaced with the word transit. Finally, it is my view that building a web of streetcars is a lavish, unsustainable, unaffordable frill as it applies to an expense that will be continually picking the pockets of Portlanders for generations to come. Additionally, streetcars crawling along on fixed, non-maneuverable rails at slow speeds that duplicate routes where other, more expedient transit already exists will obstruct and gum up the streets for other taxpaying street users and contribute to more motor vehicle engines idling in traffic that waste 2.3 billion gallons of fuel a year nationally. The streetcar concept should be scrapped. Electric trolley buses are less expensive, less intrusive, more sustainable option that needs to be thoroughly studied as the top choice for a viable transit alternative. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm Kenny Hagem from the Southeast Woodstock neighborhood. Student in broadcasting at Mount Hood Community College, DJ at local nightclubs for new wave music, and a volunteer at bike events in KBOO. I am here to advocate reconsideration, evaluation, further evaluation leading to better connectivity of Southeast Woodstock, as well as further bordering areas such as Milwaukee, connectivity to other neighborhood business districts in downtown Portland. Much talks of connecting Lentz, Foster Powell is all the excitement right now. Woodstock has such potential and has an underserved socioeconomic and age diversity, including students and nearby neighboring Reed, elderly people that eventually will need the increased mobility, a growing number of young families attracted to the practical and walkable business district, and affordable homes in the community. Let's encourage the population to utilize frequent, accessible streetcar system. Families, elderly, young students can connect to other business districts and downtown events. Woodstock has experienced increased density, and due to selling the dividable lots and mixed-use business development on 52nd and 39th to 52nd and beyond, to decrease car use and curb the effects